You are now joining Children of the Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things Star Wars television. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is...
Mac Lacey. Alex, it's been a big week. We got the premiere of the Book of Boba Fett on the 29th, and then we are celebrating a new year today as we record this. I don't know exactly when this is going to be out, but...
It'll be out today. So happy new year.
Happy new year, everybody. It's a momentous week. But yeah, this is our inaugural voicemail episode for the Book of Boba Fett.
Yes. So if you are unfamiliar with this, we were formerly The Mandalorian Watch, where we did scene-by-scene breakdowns for every single episode of The Mandalorian, scene-by-scene. And then we also did these awesome voicemail hotline episodes where you guys call in and you give us your thoughts and your theories. And then at the end of season two of The Mandalorian, we realized that Star Wars television is where the future of Star Wars is at. And to expand our brand, we changed our name from Mandalorian Watch to Children of the Watch to better cover the upcoming live-action Star Wars television shows, including the Book of Boba Fett. So that's really the first one. I'm counting it as 2022 because we'll be getting Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, probably Mando Season 3 all this year. And the Book of Boba Fett really starts us off on that. And so we'll be doing our scene-by-scene breakdowns of the Book of Boba Fett. And if you haven't caught Chapter 1 breakdown, you can go back and listen to that in your podcast app or on YouTube. And then we'll be doing voicemail hotline episodes like this. But then if you're a Patreon member, you also get a bonus voicemail hotline episode that is exactly like this, but different voicemails. And we just keep this train rolling. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think let's just jump into some voicemails.
Let's do it, man.
Hey, Children of the Watch. It's Mandalorian Mark giving you a call. It's officially Star Wars / Children of the Watch season. Wicked pumped. I'm excited. I can't wait to hear you guys' recaps and stories. And I'm just, yeah, it's a good time to be a Star Wars fan, especially following you. I loved the first episode of Book of Boba Fett. I thought it was fun. I thought it was exciting. I liked the, you know, the little glimpses of post Return of the Jedi, how he escaped and what he's doing. And I know they're going to probably get into why he didn't get into Cobb Vanth, little town there to grab his armor. So I'm wicked excited. Loving the dynamic between him and Fennec. You know, if that's just a taste of the action, we're really going to be spoiled here. Honestly, I don't like, I'm going into this not wanting to see something. I'm just sitting back and enjoying the ride with one of my favorite characters ever. I hope you guys enjoyed as much as I did, and I can't wait to hear you guys. I'll see you later. So for Mandalore, may the Force be with you, and I'll see you later. Bye.
Mark, thank you so much for your voicemail. And of course, I think that's, you know, appropriate to start with Mark. He's an OG from the beginning.
Day one
listener. So we're excited to start off this new era of Star Wars with you, Mark. I think he has a great point about watching this without any sort of preconceived notions or expectations, and just watching it and taking it for what it is instead of what you expect it to be. And right. This is something that I think me and you talked about on our scene-by-scene breakdown. I think especially with this show, it's probably going to be important for us to do that, let's look at this for what it is instead of what we want it to be or what we expect it to be. And then at the end of it all, then we can make a final judgment on if it was good or not. Because I don't know if we can actually successfully say, oh, this is going to be great or not based on just one episode of the series.
Right. And like, you know, that's just kind of the nature of long form storytelling like this too. Like, things that could be brought up as criticisms now might be very intentional and play, you know, have a big payoff later, or, you know, right. And I can't even think of anything in this episode. Like, I had no big criticisms of the first episode. Like, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. But I think people maybe had just set a little bit, you know, the bar a little bit too high as far as what they were expecting. And, you know, because like Luke Skywalker didn't show up or anything, you know, nothing of that magnitude happened in the episode, you know, might not have been what was expected. But yeah, just so let's just manage those expectations. Yeah. You know, just kind of be along for the ride. take in the story they're telling for what it is, and we can, you know, make up our minds about it after we get it, after the whole thing.
Right. And, you know, that also sets you up better. Like, if they do have a surprise in store for us, it, you know, that just makes it even better, you know? So,
right.
Like, if whether they do or don't, it doesn't really matter because they're telling the story that they're going to tell, and there's nothing we can do to change that.
Right.
Okay. So it's like I think you're going to have a better experience just like going into it with zero expectations of it should be this, and then just enjoying it. And then if they blow you away, that's even better. And if not, that's okay, because Obi-Wan Kenobi is probably next. And
yeah.
I think that's going to be, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, I think that's going to be the best thing in Star Wars this year.
Man, Andor is coming out as well. So there's a... It's a steep competition this year, but
it's going to be good. It's going to be a good year for Star Wars. So thank you for your voicemail, Mark. We can always count on you. You're the man. Thank you for all that you do.
Yeah.
I say let's jump into our next voicemail.
Hey, you guys. Happy New Year. I hope I'm not too late calling in. I was just thinking about the biker chick that we saw in the trailer. I've heard some people speculating that maybe she's Omega, but I've seen her name as Drash online, and I don't know, I was kind of wondering, like, that would be a pretty cool twist if, spoiler alert for Bad Batch, but that'd be a pretty cool twist if she was Boba Fett's sister, and it would make sense why they had him looking so hard at what was going on when they were robbing the water farmer, and, you know, and showing his disgust at what was taking place. And that'd be pretty wild if it turned out it was his sister that was like the head of that biker gang or something. And I was wondering if anybody else also had flashbacks to Uncle Owen and the stormtroopers burning him out when they saw that. I almost was trying to put it together if that was from the same event, but anyway, you guys are doing great. Thanks so much for the podcast. Bye.
Ooh.
Yep.
Nice. I think that was Ashley. She didn't give her name, but if I'm going based on what I remember, I think that was Ashley. Maybe not. I don't know. So, okay, yeah, did remind me of Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's homestead.
Yeah.
Definitely
a
moisture
farmer. Oh, no,
not again.
Not again.
Not again.
Like I just healed from this, seeing that as a child. I have just gotten over that psychologically, and here we go again.
So let's talk about the cool biker chick from the TV spot. And I speculated on the scene-by-scene breakdown, and the more I thought about it, it's like, that's probably not going to happen. My speculation was that the Tusken kid will end up being the cool biker chick in the in the present timeline. The more I thought about it, that's probably unlikely. But I do think this cool biker chick is important.
Yes.
Whether she's Omega or not, I don't think so. I don't think she's Omega because Omega would be like the same age or like just a little bit younger than Boba Fett.
Right. Yeah. And hair color and stuff can change, but generally people in Star Wars kind of keep those visual motifs sort of the same throughout their life. So, yeah, I would expect an older Omega to have like the blonde hair too. But there's plenty of reasons why she could have changed it or something like that.
Yeah. Now, okay, before we move on to cool biker chick, do you think Omega, just based on the first episode that we've had of the Book of Boba Fett, do you think Omega has any place in the story at all?
I don't see it.
I don't know. Yeah.
It was seeming like Omega from the Bad Batch and the Kaminoans talking about her as kind of sort of a contingency of some kind, or at least that's the impression I got. It seems like her story is going to be much more galactic in scale. Whereas this one, I really think we're focusing kind of on this specific ring of, the Tatooine underworld.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's talk about the cool biker chick, because I think that's a character that I'm really excited to see, and I hope that we see her in the next episode. She had said that she had saw online that her name was Drash. Now, I don't know if that's a spoiler or not. I just typed it into Google. It says that Sophie Thatcher, that's the actress who plays this biker chick, mm-hmm. is codenamed Drash, and there's another guy named Scad. So I don't know if that's going to be actually their names. Like in The Force Awakens, there was at one point Rey was going to be called Kira.
Yeah.
But she was codenamed like Kira or something like that for the duration of the filming, not to give a name, like to give her real name away. So I don't know if that's going to end up being her name or not in the series, but do you know what that name sounds like, Mac?
What's it sound like, Alex?
It sounds like Dash, doesn't it?
It does.
Drash, it does. Dash?
Drash Rindar?
Maybe this is like either a relative or maybe they've just like changed.
Just like gender flipped. Yeah. And then, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I would be totally cool with. Like,
Drash Rindar. I like it.
I do too. I do think that this character is going to be a lot of people's favorite. Like, she just, yeah. like, from the one clip that we have of her, she's, like, on this really cool, like, hot rod speeder thing, like this blue speeder, and the way she pulls up is super cool. I'm hoping that she is a fantastic new Star Wars character that we have for a long time, and I hope she's in this series a lot and not just, like, she's part of that biker gang or something and she's not a big deal. I'm hoping for a lot from this character, and I hope that we get her next episode.
Yeah, what do you think, just from the very limited information we have now, both on this character, we have one shot from a TV spot, that's the only thing we know about this character, but then also the little information we know about like this show and like what the show's going to be just from the first episode, what are your predictions for how she ends up playing into the story?
Okay. If she's not the Tusken kid, I think she's Boba's kid.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. I think this show has a lot to do. Like, this show just can't be Boba trying to be a crime lord and that's it. Like, because like you said, that does seem very surface level. Now, if at the end of the day, at the end of the whole series, that's all it is, I think I will be a little bit disappointed in that. I'm kind of hoping, if not his actual daughter, but like almost like the Luke and Rey relationship, someone to pass something on to, right? Like,
yeah,
he has learned things from Django and other people, something to pass on that legacy aspect on to would be really cool. I would really enjoy something like that. Now, I'm not saying like that's like it has to happen, but I do hope for that something like that happens. There's just something about her, and she's got that red gauntlet on that looks a lot like Boba Fett's gauntlet. So I don't know who this character is. I'm very interested to meet her, whether she's just a biker chick who has nothing to do with Boba Fett or if she is connected to him in some way. I'm really interested to see who this person is.
Yeah. I lean less away from her being like connected to him in like a familial way, you know, like I don't necessarily think that she'd be his daughter or anything like that. Definitely could, you know, it's totally possible, but I do see that same, like she's someone that could be mentored,
yes.
and kind of a, like I could see them meeting up where she's kind of on the opposite side. You know, she is in a biker gang that they're chasing, or she's doing a job against Boba or something like that. They meet kind of under those circumstances. Maybe she gets captured or something like that. But then like along the way,
they get to know each other
and then they realize, you know, Boba can pour into her and kind of leave, you know, she can be the next step of his legacy, basically.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah. What if she's Toro Calican's sister?
Zorro Calican?
Drash Calican.
Drash Calican. I mean, Toro basically is Dash Rendar, so.
That would be cool. I don't know. And you know, there is a possibility, we do have to keep in mind, there is a possibility that this character is like a nobody, and she's just like, you know, like in one episode, and that's it.
Right. Totally possible.
Totally possible, but I do have my hopes up for, you know, I want cool new characters, you know, that would be really, really cool. So, we'll see. Maybe we'll see next episode. I assume we'll meet her early than later.
Right. We've seen most everything from all the promotional stuff has been early on. Like we saw a lot of it just in chapter one, you know?
Right.
So I would imagine that you're probably correct.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the next voicemail.
Hi there. I listen to your podcast. Love it. Love the breakdown of the book of Boba Fett. Three things. One, I think the Tusken Raiders are dark and red because in a Vader comic, they talk about that they actually create a shrine and celebrate Vader as a god. Two, I think Boba Fett is strategic in the novelization of Attack of the Clones. They talk about the conversation that Jango has with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Boba Fett sees it as this big sword parry with words. Talks about why his father taught him the other language, which I believe was Huttese, to tell him to go close the storage area of the armor and such like that. So I think that Boba Fett is going to be turned out to be much more strategic. I agree with you that his main strength comes from his confidence and his ability to get himself out of things. There's also a quote in Legend Comics from Boba Fett where he gives up all of his weapons, and somebody says, okay, now you can come into a meeting, and now that you're unarmed, he says, well, my name is Boba Fett, and I am never unarmed. So I think that his mind is his greatest weapon, along with his confidence and his abilities to tackle things. And then three, I think that the Tusken stuff is all circling back to how he will unite Tatooine with a crime lord, because the Tusken Raiders have been seen, you know, painted as like the American Indian as savages. And we saw in The Mandalorian that they were bringing them together to find that they actually have a very complex society, belief system, and everything else. So I think the Tusken Raiders will end up being his greatest ally, because he's always been a pawn for all these other crime lords. Like you said in the beginning, it's weird having him, this guy, come in here and pay tribute when I used to work for him. So I think that's going to be his biggest upset. He was always a pawn for all these other people. And so for him to get strength, it will have to come from the Tusken Raiders. Love the podcast, and keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you, Mysterious Stranger from Parts Unknown.
just a heads up, folks. If you leave your name, we'll say it, but no worries. You can make one up go with a Star Wars character or something. You know, you could say it's Boss calling, whatever you want to do. Yeah. But thank you so much for your call, Mysterious Stranger. So, what was the first thing?
So, the first thing was that in one of the canon Darth Vader comics,
Yes.
And this is part of the reason I kind of just dropped out of the Star Wars comics, is stuff like this, if I'm being honest with you. I don't really like this kind of stuff. But Vader goes to Tatooine, like during the original trilogy time, like after A New Hope, and he slaughters some more Tuskens in anger. And the Tuskens see that, like the Tuskens that survive see that, and they end up building like this huge shrine to him and worshiping Darth Vader for it. I don't necessarily dislike that idea. What I dislike is like Vader being on Tatooine at any point after becoming Vader at all. That kind of defeats the purpose of putting Luke on Tatooine. Like, the whole thought behind that was keeping Luke safe because Vader would never return to Tatooine.
Right.
Or at least that's the thought.
Right. It does, and it kind of, like, de-emphasizes that moment, like, of his fall, you know, I think a little bit, if he keeps going back to Tatooine to do it, you know?
Right. So just like when he's feeling down, he goes to slaughter Tuskens. That's awful.
Yeah. I don't need a story focusing on that.
No.
But
But it's possible. I did see Star Wars Explained put out a video very similar to that thought process. It's totally possible that's why they're wearing like the darker colors. I mean, it's they've proven they will put some things like from the books into the show. They could do the same thing with the comics into the show as well, you know. So that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Right. Yeah. And then, so the point two and point three, I think, go together in a big way, or they will in the show. Point two basically being that, like, Boba Fett's greatest asset is his mind and his ability to plan and strategize and that kind of thing. Totally agree with you there. I look forward to seeing that. Like, I can't wait for Boba to have to navigate the kind of the politics of the underworld and have to come up with clever solutions to, solve disagreements and that kind of thing. With the Tusken stuff being related to that, like, as far as I think that the stuff we're seeing in the flashbacks, he's learning valuable lessons. Like last time I said that moment where the Rodian sounds the alarm and instead of working with him, I think that's foreshadowing. I think a lot of those things in the flashback sequences are going to be analogous to events that will happen later to Boba Fett. So they're going to inform how he responds to those things. So I think like, there may be a situation in which he's at odds with a group and has to go do something heroic like conquering this monster to earn their respect and earn his place in them. Like, that could happen later in the show, and he has to kind of rely on the lessons he's learning during the flashback sequences.
For sure. I mean, there is a good point there in terms of, I think the Tusken Raiders do kind of represent Native Americans in the sense of, like the people on Tatooine who are settlers don't understand them, but once you like get to know them and are ingrained in their culture, it's like it's a very complex, amazing culture,
right?
So there is a lot of parallels there that could be played with within the show as well. Maybe even like I think Game of Thrones did the same type of thing with the Dothraki and Daenerys. A similar type of thing there could happen here in the Book of Boba Fett of, like, if he is building this coalition of people, he might bring in the Tusken Raiders who have been kind of pushed to the outside in Tatooine society, and he's bringing them back in. So I could see something like that happening for sure.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, man.
Let's get to the next one.
All right.
Hey, guys. Just finished listening to your breakdown of episode one of Book of Boba Fett, Stranger in a Strange Land. Love hearing what you guys have to say all the time. I just want to bring up one point about the episode at the end that you guys didn't mention, but I thought was really... So the little Tusken kid and Boba went back to camp, and the little kid's excited with the that monster head, like you guys mentioned, and everybody else, the rest of the Tuskens, are all celebrating, and they're all happy. They're congratulating the kid, and that Tusken chieftain standing next to Boba, and he offers him the little black melon of water, and Boba takes it. I saw that as the chieftain kind of acknowledging that that he knows that Boba really killed that monster. That offering of water to me basically says, yeah, I know you really killed that monster there. Here, have some water. You did good. So I just thought that was significant. Maybe that will kind of play a little role later as Boba continues to prove himself to this Tusken tribe. So just wanted to mention that. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
And we want to shout out to our Mandalore patrons, that Sean M, Brian S, Myron C, Dave, Tyler B, Amy C, at Kessel Run on Twitter, Annie, Andrew Verson, Jansen B, James Parker Price, Todd, Sam Smallwood, Adam S, Larry S, Matt from Michigan, Rick Villanueva, Jesse, James B, and Sean D. Thank you for being our Mandalore patrons. You guys are the best. Nice. Yeah. Totally agree with you. For sure. We didn't really mention that, I guess, on the scene by scene breakdown, that you know, the Tuscan kid is presenting the head as if he slayed the monster. And Boba's letting him do that. And the dad kind of realizes, yeah, my kid did not do that.
Yeah. Watching it, I had a slightly different read. I just thought the kid was really enthusiastic about it, and like everybody was kind of celebrating that, like, maybe they had been wanting this monster gone. But I definitely see that read of it, and I think that informs more about Boba's character, potentially. Like, that he knows that he took care of the monster. He's earned that respect, as kind of symbolized by the water black melon thing, and that's good enough for him, you know.
Right.
And I think what we've seen so far, him rejecting kind of the grandeur and the spoils of being a crime lord, you know, like being carried on, like rejecting those kind of things, that's you know, consistent.
Right.
So yeah, very cool observation.
Yeah. And another observation that I thought of this when we watched it the first time and the second time, and when we did our scene by scene breakdown, but I just did not bring it up because I got a lot of voicemails about this too, is that like there is an obvious parallel between Boba strangling the monster and Leia strangling Jabba. We didn't really mention that. And the reason, like, I feel like both of us kind of saw a different thing in slaying the monster than... it's a direct reference to Leia slaying the monster. They're both going back to a source material, and that's like Greek mythology.
Yeah,
like Leia doing that is like straight from Greek mythology, and Boba doing that is straight from Greek mythology too.
Right. It's like a Homeric thing. Like,
yes.
It's yeah. Yeah. All of that, like this, his kind of return has a lot of parallels to me to like the Odyssey or like the Herculean tasks, you know. This almost seemed like the first task he had to do to kind of win his way back home. Yeah, that's definitely the parallel I saw in it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's funny that you said the task of Hercules, because like when I was watching that the first time and he was fighting the monster, I was like, man, this does remind me of the original myth of Hercules for some reason. Like, you know, slaying the lion or whatever. Like, this is the same type of thing. Boba has to go through these trials to get whatever he's trying to get at the end, right? Whether that's something within himself or like an outer thing of like just being the crime boss of Tatooine and the galaxy, whether it's both, whatever, he's got to go through these trials to get that. And I think that's what we're seeing in the show.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the most exciting thing, and the thing I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to get more information on, is just like what his goal is. You know, what is all this leading to? What's that home he is trying to get back to? You know, and I'm sure it's a proverbial home, you know. But
does he just want to go back to Kamino?
Maybe, you know, he could just be trying to get it, saving up enough credits to move back. Who knows?
Kamino is totally the opposite of Tatooine.
Yeah, it's just water.
It's just water. Yeah. Especially now after the Bad Batch, spoiler alert, because the Empire basically destroyed the city that he grew up in.
Yikes.
So... that's sad. All right, let's do the last voicemail for this episode, but then if you're on the Patreon, you get the bonus voicemail hotline episode where we'll do more. So let's do the last one for this episode. Let's do it.
Hey, guys. My name's Dan. I'm from California. I've been a long-time listener of the podcast, and got on the YouTube subscription as well. Thanks for doing all you do. Just calling about a little theory I had about this opening episode of Book of Boba Fett. So do you think there's any symbolism there with the fact that he's wearing white essentially when he goes into the Sarlacc and comes out, and then we see him, what is present day, in like a black base layer. So it looks like it's switching from one to the other. So we see something similar with Luke Skywalker, right, with New Hope and then Return of the Jedi, where he goes from white to black. So just something interesting I think that might be there. So curious your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
That's a really cool thought. I love the parallel to Luke, because the reason that they did Luke's costume the way they did in Return of the Jedi is that it would be black all the way up until the end, and then in kind of that last fight, like his clothing is disheveled and that piece flaps over and it's got the light on the inside. So it was trying to keep his kind of moral alignment vague up until the moment that he kind of overcomes the temptation of the dark side and everything like that and redeems his father. And you see that, you know, light always on the inside. So that's an interesting thing with Boba, now that he's wearing kind of the black flight suit as the basis for his armor. Even just if it's because it's the kind of the language of Star Wars, it's an interesting choice. It could just be a design thing, but
initially I was just thinking because black is more slimming.
the reason I only wear black.
the black with that green armor pops. I think this version of the suit actually looks better than the original. That's just me. I know there's probably like, no, it's, how could you say that? And, you know, people are like shouting at their podcast app and their phone and their car, whatever.
People
I like
wreck.
The way that this looks better. Like, it's the green is greener, the black makes it pop a little bit more. I like that look. But yeah, I mean, it's something that we can't discount totally, because it is the language of Star Wars. Like, the Star Wars is one of the reasons I love Star Wars so much, is because you could turn off the volume and still understand the story without like any of the dialogue.
Right.
You know,
you
it's
see
such
a bad
visual.
Guy and you're like, yep, that's a bad guy.
Yeah. and so it makes Star Wars a little bit more universal than other properties in that way. You know, that's something that I think is special about Star Wars, is the language that it tells through the visuals. Now, I mean, we've also got to think through, like, okay, so Boba's wearing black. What does that mean for him? Fennec is in all black, right? Like, she is too. I think that's something that we have not talked about enough. I guess this is going to be kind of our last point on this voicemail hotline episode. Thank you for your call, because this kind of led me to this thought. Can we totally trust Fennec? Like, are we sure we can trust her? Like she seems super eager to do what Boba says. And, like, there's just something like, wait a second. Who is Fennec? We don't even really know who she is. Can we trust her totally?
Right. I don't think we can say one way or the other, because we don't know the circumstances, like, under which their partnership began. Like, how did they even start working with each other? Like obviously they were in proximity to one another at a you know, but like, what's the nature of their relationship truly? Like, I don't think we've really gotten, like, what is Fennec's in game with working
right.
with Boba, right?
Right. So, like, okay, if we go back to Chapter 5 of The Mandalorian from Season 1, which is The Gunslinger, in which Toro Calican, my boy, was introduced, he shoots her, right? But before he shoots her, she mentions that she is there to meet a contact in Mos Espa. Now, this episode takes place in Mos Espa.
Yep.
Okay. There was a bounty on Fennec for some reason. We don't know why that bounty was out on her. We have no idea. Now, we do know that she was in the Bad Batch. If you haven't watched the Bad Batch, she was in the Bad Batch. She was younger. She was just kind of starting her mercenary bounty hunting career. She does come into contact with Omega, which is basically Boba's sister. And she kind of looks out for her in a way, but is also trying to, like, get the bounty on her. So, like, there's this kind of weird dynamic. And she seems kind of friendly in that. So we are left to assume she's kind of a good person from the interactions that we have from her in season two of The Mandalorian and in season one of The Bad Batch, which is earlier in her timeline, earlier in her life. But we don't know why she was actually on Tatooine to begin with. We can assume that maybe she was there to meet Boba Fett to begin with. Maybe she was there to meet him and they were going to start from the get-go and do something together from the get-go. And he ends up finding her in the desert because she never showed up. And he kind of fixes her and gives her the robo-tummy. And then they just continue on their merry way. But there is just something, like, when it comes to bounty hunting, when it comes to the mercenary underworld, I think you got to sleep with one eye open. Yeah. And I think until we totally know what Fennec's motivations are in helping Boba, we got to keep an eye on her, right? Like, I don't know what her goal is. And that's something that I hope the show answers.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, we will see what Chapter 2 brings, and we'll be back with another voicemail episode. If you're on the Patreon, you will hear from us very shortly before that. But anything else to add before we wrap this one up?
No, I'm just excited for Chapter 2 this coming Wednesday. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe. Or you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. That just helps more people see the podcast. And you can give us a 5-star review on Spotify as well. That helps. And then we're on YouTube. You can search Children of the Watch, a Star Wars show, and subscribe over on the YouTube. And I think that's it. And I love you all. And I love Star Wars. And I love you, Matt.
I love you too, Alex. Until next time. Keep the watch.